Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Chronicles, today we're going to talk about another chapter from the new book I released, The Visionary Brand, The Success Formula Behind the World's Most Visionary Brands, a Reader's Favorite Award winner for Best Nonfiction Marketing Book and an Amazon bestseller. So I appreciate those that purchased the book and also appreciate the reward at the same time. But also what I really appreciate is those that reach out to me and either asking questions on how to apply the knowledge from the book and or those that have applied that which I put into the book and have successfully found a way to set their vision. So to me, both are great, and I look forward to any further comments from the podcast today, which is talking about the brand ecosystem. And many people talk about an ecosystem, but I think it sometimes gets confused with an ESG or a social component to it. But actually how I look at an ecosystem is really this environment that a brand creates. And probably the best and most visual example of that is Apple and how they've created this ecosystem of what I call this, interestingly enough, the term that the core product, which is at the core of their ecosystem, and everything kind of is tentacles off of that. So we'll talk about that today. So it's creating a brand ecosystem, how to create what I call this brand stickiness. And it's really what happens with an ecosystem. You know, you've successfully executed an ecosystem if it has this stickiness, ones where people feel the need to purchase the latest, greatest product or the next generation of product or the no bolt-on to a service or to a product that you've already released. So I think it's a really important component to talk about, and very few brands have successfully achieved an ecosystem. And trying to define what an ecosystem is one thing, but successfully executing it is a completely different thing. So we talk about famous quotes. I find one here from Elon. Doesn't necessarily apply to an ecosystem, it applies to a brand, but he says a brand is just a perception, and perception will match reality over time. Sometimes it'll be ahead, other times it'll be behind, but brand is simply a collective impression some have about a product. Now, I'll agree with Elon on several of those pieces of that quote, and I feel a brand is an earned right over time. And when you look at this, it's really what Elon's talking about is that there's a brand perception of not only a lifestyle or it's a proven efficiency or whatever it may be that a brand promises, it's brought to reality over and over and over again. And that's why it's an earned right. It isn't a one-hit wonder. It isn't something that you position as a premium product one day and then an inferior commodity product the next day. You've got a very specific principle around how you built the brand, and you don't compromise on that. So when we talk about stickiness, and what I looked at was with the stickiness of a brand and successfully executing an ecosystem, you know, how about a definition of what stickiness is? You know, I've got several here. It's the quality of sticking to a surface, obviously. It's the resistance of a liquid to forces. But I think the third is kind of an adoption in the dictionary of where we're going at with our generation. And it's quality products or websites where the results are people staying with a company or their site for long periods of time. And the interpretation of that for me when I looked at it, when I was writing the book, was this stickiness principle of an ecosystem. You know, quality products or websites, that's the first thing, where the results are where people are staying with a company or their site for a long period of time. You know, first it was translating to websites only, and then it went to products and why people stick with a brand, why people come back to a brand. It's really kind of this magnet principle and stickiness principle that we're looking at. So stickiness in the term utilized by a brand is really looking to create an ecosystem. That's really what it is. When you look at stickiness, you're really trying to create this ecosystem around why people are going to continually come back to your brand. So it really builds long-term customer value, which is the golden egg for brands. They want customers not to buy one time, but they want customers to buy multiple times. And that isn't done through necessarily a great product a lot of times. It's done through the branding of the product. They want to be a part of the Ralph Lauren lifestyle. Ralph said many years ago, and I quote it many times, is just, we're not selling a product, we're selling a lifestyle. And that's many times what brands do. It's not a service necessarily, but when you look at brands and products, it's really what Apple has created, not only great products, but a great ecosystem. And we'll see if they continue with that. Hopefully they do. These tentacles that we talk about with an ecosystem, so you've got this core of a product that is kind of this centerpiece of an ecosystem. It really has to be something that you can bolt things onto. And it's things that you can build off of, both incrementally as well as innovative. So these tentacles are what Apple had built over time, you know, allowing it to continue building out additional services, additional interconnected products that serve a very specific purpose for maximizing the use of its suite of products or services. They've expanded out into services, as we're all very familiar with, and we're all very familiar with their products. But if you look at the ecosystem of Apple, everything is interconnected. And it's by design, because they want you to continue to come back for the next generation of product or the latest disruption or innovative product. Now, they haven't had a disruption since the iPhone, and everything beyond that has either been an innovation or an incremental improvement, which is fine, but at some point, you have to disrupt the status quo again, as Steve had always mentioned. So it's a brilliant strategy, but extremely hard to achieve sustainability over generations. And this is what I talk about in the book. The platform is built first on a singular product that provides immediate and desirable value. And I think that's where a lot of people and brands, when they're looking at their ideation, the product, what they want to put in the pipeline for innovation or disruption or whatever they call that disruption, many times it gets misturned. But when I talk about desirable value is a translation to, does a customer want it? You don't always have to go out to the customer. I'm not a big believer in going out and asking the customer what they want. And I go back to the Henry Ford quote of, hey, if I would have asked my customer what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse, not a new car. So many times I still use that interpretation, even though it's very old, it's very appropriate for today's world. They don't always know what they want. They didn't know they wanted the iPhone. They were perfectly fine with their flip phones. So when you want something that's a desirable value, so when you're looking at this core product, it's something that you almost can't live without. It's this iPhone principle. So this core product becomes the centerpiece for creating loyalty to the brand through a customer's realized value through use. And I'll say that again. This core product becomes the centerpiece for creating loyalty to the brand through a customer's realized value through use. And what I mean by that is, you may have a great product and you think it's a core of what you want to build for your ecosystem, but if it provides no value for your customer through use, it's either too hard, they don't understand it, it doesn't bolt on, it doesn't connect to anything, it's really kind of an isolated product that's extremely hard to use, and both of those are strike one, strike two. And so you want to make sure that it's a core product that provides realized value through customer use, word of mouth. We know how quickly word of mouth spreads with social media today. You want this to be positive use and a use that they realize true value. So once the core has been developed, then you start looking at and whiteboarding these tentacles. And we do that with Liquid Mind, with brands that are looking to build off an ecosystem. Some are small, some are large. And it's perfectly fine both ways. I mean, Apple had a very big vision and they were able to execute that vision, and we all still live in that world today. So they can be bolted on and they can be an added, what I call this additive value to the core. And I say additive value again by design. As many brands have failed to build this, what I call this true authentic ecosystem, that don't account for community or customer value. And value, if I was going to say one word on ecosystem, is whether it's a shared service, whether it's a product, is value, customer value. Do they value what you're offering and are willing to pay for it? again and again and again. And that's what we're seeing with the streaming services. If they don't provide value, customers move away very quickly. So instead, many of these brands are what I call companies or commodities. They'll look for incremental income. It's not sustainable, what I call. It can't renew itself. So it's an incremental income flow that's not part of a what we call an ecosystem. So value degrades if the add-on is too expensive relative to value. It's not a seamless integration, overly cumbersome, and the user experience is horrible. And we've all had that. And that's a lot to ask of a brand or a company. You may have a great, great product, and 4 out of 5 of these boxes are checked, but they got a horrible user experience. All of a sudden, it becomes incremental income, and that generation is gone, and your opportunity to build is also gone. The problem that you have, and when we talk with brands, is that you are trying to build what? You're trying to build customer lifetime value, CLV, but you need that through trust and loyalty. So what happens when you have an unfavorable experience? The customer talks about it. And they also talk about trust and loyalty, which are two golden eggs of building an ecosystem. And if you crush one of those two or both of them, you effectively don't have an ecosystem. You have an isolated product that doesn't plug or integrate with anything, which is a problem. And it's kind of the polar opposite to what you're trying to achieve with an ecosystem. So in creating stickiness through developing a product, or let's just say a service ecosystem, involves building a comprehensive and interconnected set of products, services, experiences that cater to the needs and preferences of your community, the brand's community, the customers. And you should be able to anticipate that, by the way. If you're a visionary brand, you should anticipate what the customer wants or needs. Now, if you miss, it's okay. That's what risk-taking is all about. But you're anticipating what the customer needs without them knowing they needed it. Why do you think the iPhone was such a hit? Because it completely disrupted the market, not only the phone market, but the music market and how you receive your music. So that was a disruption that people didn't really think they needed. And having worked with global brands with Liquid Mind, where we have some with stickiness and others that are looking to create it, the following that I find through our team with Liquid Mind and the brands we work with, both product and services, by the way, we deploy these with the brands relative to where they are in this journey. And I call it a journey because if you look at the start of this journey, it's an idea or a product or service that's going to disrupt your category and move you ahead of the competition. It becomes somewhat of an indispensable product through value to your customer. So that's a big piece of it. So here are some of the areas, not all of them, as I usually do in the book, I explain this in detail. But one of the pieces of this journey on creating this brand ecosystem, the first is interconnected products and services. You know, brands can develop a range of product and services, you know, to complement each other, create a seamless user experience. That's the ultimate value creation for a customer, is a great product that's seamless to use, integrates with other products that they're currently using. You know, and I use an example, technology company. You know, they might offer a suite of products like Apple, where they have laptops and smartphones, tablets, everything they create is seamless integration with their ecosystem that work together. And cloud now is a big piece of that puzzle as well. So you need that for data synchronization. So all of this data that's going back and forth with brands, you need to make sure, before it used to just be products, but now it's data synchronization as well. So you want to make sure you have interconnected product and services. Number two is cross-platform integration. And the best example of this was a lot of the infighting between Microsoft and Apple back in the day. It drove customers crazy. You know, just get over it, make friends, and start building cross-platform integration. And fortunately, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs crossed that bridge, shook hands, and said, hey, let's start working together on this, as opposed to fighting against one another. So brands integrate their products and services across multiple platforms. They create and provide a consistent user experience. So Microsoft and Apple is a great example of that. Office works across Apple and Apple works on the Microsoft platform. You know, this could involve ensuring compatibility between mobile apps now, web services, physical products, allowing users to transition effortlessly between these different platforms or these services that you're offering. And then the third is an ecosystem lock-in. And you'll see that a lot with the streaming services. Brand incentivize customers to stay within their ecosystem by offering exclusive features, content. This is kind of a marketing ploy, but it really is something you're trying to lock them in. Content, discounts, and a streaming service might provide original content only available to the subscribers, encouraging users to remain loyal to their platform. So that's a big one. Ecosystem lock-in. Data sharing and personalization is a big one. Personalization is a huge one right now with AI and ChatGPT. These are things that you can personalize communications with customers now, and that's important for establishing loyalty and trust. And so when you look at data sharing and personalization, brands collect this data on user preferences and behaviors across their ecosystem and personalize the experience. Think how much nicer it is. And I get this. Where they are sending you an email and it's hello, comma, I immediately trash it because they clearly don't understand personalization and also targeting. If you're going to send me an email, don't waste my time and don't make it general. So personalization is collecting data on user preferences, behaviors, but utilizing it where you personalize it. You know, by leveraging insights from consumer data, brands can offer tailored recommendations. Clothing companies, footwear companies do this all the time. Content, all the streaming services offer this now, services that can enhance their stickiness. You know, I would say the streaming services now are kind of starting to learn this personalization, but I wish they would get better at it. Is that all of these packages that they put out there, 20 channels for $20, well, I don't need all 20. Give me an individual, what I call menu, of offerings that you're going to give to me, and I'm actually willing to pay more for 3 channels than I would for the 20 because I'm actually going to watch the 3 channels. So data sharing and personalization is a big piece of the puzzle. The next is community and social engagement. So brands kind of foster this sense of community, and I love that. And they really need to have that community because people want to be a part of this lifestyle. And I reference footwear and apparel companies and consumer brands in particular, because there's a certain lifestyle you can generate through this social engagement and community build. And this is this fostering or growing of this community and social engagement with their ecosystem. Talk to people online. You're providing forums for them to talk to brands inside of the company, social media platforms. And it allows other channels to connect with one another. So it's kind of this ecosystem within itself. But by building a brand community around their product and services, they encourage loyalty and advocating of the brand and their products. So that's a huge piece of it. And then continuous innovation. So always innovating in your ecosystem. If you're going to provide user value, continued user value, where they're going to pay you for your product, you need to continually be evolving and adapting your products. So brands innovate and iterate their products and services, let's say, have user engagement. And they get excited about these new innovations if they actually provide value. And I go back to that word value. Make sure that you have value and have interpreted that. Marketing teams lose sight of that many times. What does it do for me that's different than what I'm doing today? You know, it's going to involve releasing regular updates, introducing new features, expanding new product categories that meet the evolving needs of your customer community. Anticipate the need and provide value. Those are really important points. And then partnerships and integrations, wherever you can do that, be proactive in building partnerships with other brands, companies, services, whatever it may be. Brands form partnerships all the time and integrations with other companies and extend the reach and functionality of their independent ecosystems that now are collaborating with one another. You know, this could involve integrating with a third-party service, collaborating with complementary brands to offer bundled product services. So there's a lot of opportunities for brands to explore this, and we really don't see a lot of brands doing that and why we offer it up on our whiteboarding with LiquidMind. So again, the points we're making here, when you talk about an ecosystem, this stickiness factor, The points, again, are interconnected products and services, number one. Number two, cross-platform integration. Number three is ecosystem lock-in, data sharing and personalization, community and social engagement, continuous innovation, and then partnerships and integrations. So overall stickiness through a product ecosystem requires a combination of things. Seamless integration, personalized experiences, community engagement, and continuous innovation. Because you want to keep your users and your community engaged with your brand for the long term. So make sure that you have these pieces of the puzzle in place before you think about creating your ecosystem. And find that core product that's going to be disruptive, and then you can build the tentacles off it. So I always say, stay true, stay authentic, be different, be great, enjoy the journey along the way. Thanks for listening to the Visionary Chronicles today. Again, if you enjoy what we're talking about, please, please pass this on to your friends. Have them subscribe, or anybody you may know, pass this along, please. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps our cause and hopefully helps yours, as long as we keep generating good content that's of value to you. So the Visionary Chronicles recently ranked number one visionary and top 50 marketing podcast by FeedSpot. Proud to say that was 2022, now through 2024. And a best-selling book that I released a year and a half or so ago, Visionary Brand, The Success Formula Behind the World's Most Visionary Brand. Proud to say also, by the way, that we just released, after many, many months of work, our master course, the Visionary Brand Master Course, through the visionaryfiles.com. That's where you'll find the master course. And it's exclusive content through our premium podcast as well as our master course. And again, that's at visionaryfiles.com. We've had about, I'm going to say, 2,500 or so entrepreneurs and executives that have gone through the course. So would love to have you take a look at that. We have an actually intro sampler for you to look at as well. So please, through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, we're on every iHeart, Google podcast. And if you could subscribe, and ideally, if you could leave a review, that would be awesome as well, and we would really appreciate it. And again, it helps our cause and hopefully yours as well. And for those that would like to reach out to me, I get a lot of this as well. After listening to the podcast, people who want to reach out to me or our team, you can reach out to us at liquidmindsite.com, liquidmindsite.com. And if you have any questions, or if you just want to meet, you got a problem, issue you want to discuss, feel free to set up a free meeting with us at liquidmindsite.com. Or reach out to me directly at Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, at liquidmindsite.com. Again, that's L-B-R-Y-A-N, hopefully the correct way of spelling it, at liquidmindsite.com, L-I-Q-U-I-D-M-I-N-D-S-I-T-E.com, Facebook at Brian Smeltzer 33, Instagram at Brian _ Smeltzer, Twitter at Brian Smeltzer, and then also at LinkedIn, Brian Smeltzer. So again, thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles, and we look forward to our next podcast.